listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for staying with us on ABQ Connect. We're joined now by Lisa Uvall. She is the Deputy Director of Housing for the City of Albuquerque, and Monica Jamka. She's the Public Affairs Specialist for the City of Albuquerque. Ladies, welcome to ABQ Connect.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Good to be here.
Hey, let's start with Lisa first. Lisa, how's the City of Albuquerque working to increase and protect affordable housing in Albuquerque?
Jim, for that question. You know, at the City of Albuquerque here in the Department of Family and Community Services, we're really committed to developing and addressing the full needs, the full, I guess, range of housing across the spectrum. So that's everything from supportive housing, which is help paying the rent, for plus supportive services for folks experiencing homelessness, to helping first-time homebuyers purchase their first home. So some of the specific strategies we're working on right now include we really want to acquire, rehab, and convert motels into really basic efficiency apartments that are affordable to our community members with low and moderate income. Since I've joined the city, I've really heard a lot about that. We've got a lot of motels out there that are underutilized that could quickly be converted into housing. So we're hoping to test that idea with at least one motel this year.
Yeah, that is exciting. And you also mentioned in your notes that you sent me that you also are providing some on-site support services. What does that mean?
Yes. So, you know, our assumption is that many of the folks who will live in this type of housing development will likely be vulnerable folks who will need some level of support to successfully maintain their housing. So we see this as being like an on-site services coordinator, somebody who can kind of keep an eye on folks, make sure that they look like they're doing okay, check in on folks. You know, if they haven't seen someone in a while or they haven't collected their mail in a while, they can kind of check in on them, make sure everything's okay. And then also, like, link people to resources that are available in the community. So if someone seems to be struggling with mental health stuff, then they can help make that connection and referral to a mental health professional. On-site services coordinator can also, like, help arrange for a food bank to come in and provide food or organize activities for the residents as well.
Yeah, I know you have six strategies. You've talked about one, acquiring and rehabbing and converting motels. But before we go to the other five, I want to ask Monica, you're the public affairs specialist. I would imagine that letting the community know about these services, and Lisa's kind of alluded to it, they're already kind of isolated and maybe not seeing TV ads and computer social media and those kind of things. So getting the word out to the people that really need these services sounds like it's a tough assignment.
Thank you, Jim, for that question. You know, it is always a challenge to try and get information out as widely as possible. So that's really something that I've been working hard at here at Family and Community Services, because there are so many wonderful things happening. We're so busy. There's great initiatives and projects in the works, and it really is a broad spectrum, like Lisa mentioned. And so we really want to be able to share all of what we're doing and all that's coming up with the city at large and the public. So I'm working on a lot of social media content, and we also have a wonderful newsletter called Homeless Solutions that folks can sign up for. And we're also revamping our website a little bit to make sure that it's a little bit more clear and organized and easier to navigate. So those are big projects underway from the communications and marketing side of things.
Lisa and Monica, I don't want to make a political comment, but I do. I wish the media would focus more on the good things that you guys are doing rather than talking about the politicians, because this is good stuff that you have here. Lisa, talk to us about your other strategies for helping people.
Absolutely. So our second strategy is we want to create more apartment units, just decent, you know, basic apartment units that are affordable to our low and moderate income households in our community. This is our working families, our seniors, our people with disabilities that are living on limited incomes. We want to just develop more apartment units for those folks. So our second strategy is to create more units through new construction or through acquisition rehab of existing apartment buildings that are already out there. We have some a mix of HUD dollars, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, as well as some local city dollars. And we use those dollars to partner with nonprofit affordable housing developers in our community to create new housing units. We've been doing that successfully for many years, but we want to do more of that going forward.
Well, and it sounds like you also, if I read this right, you're working with people that own units and maybe even part of a city program to provide reduced cost housing for people.
Yes, that's exactly right. So the model that we've used, which has worked really well, is we'll fund a nonprofit developer to create new units, they'll build a new apartment building, and then that developer owns the property, owns that apartment building. And some of the apartments in that building, the majority of the apartments, have rents that are affordable to folks with low and moderate income. And that's a way of bringing more rental units, more apartments into our city that working folks and seniors and people with disabilities are able to afford.
Your strategy number three is preserve existing affordable units. And all I can think about when I read that is that, you know, with people utilizing these pieces of real estate, you just don't build them and then they're there forever. You have to maintain them and take care of them. And that sounds like what you're doing
that's
here.
Right. That's exactly right. You know, we have apartments, units in our community, some that are what we call like naturally affordable, just meaning the rates that the landlord set on those units are affordable to lower or moderate income folks, but that tends to be like an older housing stock that does need repair and maintenance issues. We also have a Albuquerque Housing Authority, which owns about 1,000 units of housing that's affordable to low and moderate income folks. But again, that housing stock is pretty old, and we do need to invest in making sure those units are in good condition because we want the housing not just to be affordable, but also to be a safe place for people to call home as well.
Well, and I asked Monica a minute ago about how difficult it is to get the word about all of this. And I've been in Albuquerque my entire life, and I didn't know any of this information, and I'm on the radio. So I want to challenge my media members. We need to ask more questions, and we need to put this out in the public more often. And Monica and I have been communicating back and forth to develop a strategy on this show to try to help get the word out. Right, Monica?
Yes, absolutely. And thank you so much, Jim, for your interest and wanting to work with me and being willing to spread the message, because there are a lot of great things happening, and I really encourage folks to follow us on social media as well.
And how do they do that?
We have a much stronger presence now on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So just find us. You can Google CABQ, or you can go to these particular social media handles and Google or search for CABQ FCS. That's Family and Community Services. So, for example, on Instagram, we are FCS EBQ. On Facebook, you can find us just by searching for Family and Community Services. And that's a great way to also connect with other city departments so you can see what's happening across the city.
Well, and I apologize, Monica, but I'm just learning this and you taught it to me. You can dial 311 and get about any piece of information you need as to city services.
It's true. 311 is a marvelous resource and provides a lot of great connection points to specific topics or resources if folks are calling in with particular questions or concerns. So 311 is a wonderful way to gain more information about what's happening in Albuquerque.
So strategy number four to helping people and protecting housing in New Mexico and providing it for lower-income families is to create more supportive housing vouchers. How does that work, Lisa?
Yes, so supportive housing is a model that has been proven to be very effective in helping folks exit homelessness permanently. And so the supportive housing model is helping people pay the rent, plus providing supportive services that help folks once their house stabilize and be good tenants. And supportive housing vouchers means that instead of building new units, we're helping folks rent apartments that already exist out on the private rental market, but we're helping to subsidize that rent through vouchers and then providing those supportive services. This is a model that works really well. Looking at some recent data, about 94% of households that have received supportive housing through the city in a recent 12-month period maintain their housing stability. So we know this model works. We just need more of it.
The audience that you're addressing today here on KLYT is largely a faith community, people of all yep. denominations. I have people of Catholic community. I have Protestants of every denomination. I have people that even want to listen to the show because they want to talk about the truth and accuracy of what the Bible says. So everybody has an agenda, but they're listening intently. And I know our community mm-hmm. lives generously. Is there anything that our community can do to support you in your efforts?
Thank you so much for that question. I think there's a few different things. I think one, just remind all of your listeners that we often don't know when folks are experiencing a housing crisis, including when folks are homeless. Often that's kind of those folks are invisible, or that part of their lives is hidden. So just, to really be good friends and colleagues and fellow members of their church or faith community to really just connect with folks and find out what's going on. And then I think if you are talking with someone that's experiencing a housing crisis, one resource that's out there is a housing resource line called 768 HELP. Again, 768 HELP. We contract with a local nonprofit organization to operate that line, and they have sort of housing focused navigation that they can do. So you can call that number yourself or on behalf of someone that you know, and they can provide some resources that are out there. I think another different way that folks can make an impact is we do have our One Albuquerque Fund, which is a foundation separate from the city, but that raises money to help fund the city's priorities, including priorities around housing and homelessness. So that's another way that folks can help contribute.
And we are, we're not going to avoid the topic of homelessness. We're going to talk about it briefly today, but Monica has a plan to talk about that on our next interview to talk more extensively about homelessness. Right. But we're really talking about keeping people in homes and with a safe, clean place to live today. The city has put together an entire report, really. I think it's 15, 16 pages long. It's a plan about how to increase and protect affordable housing for people in New Mexico. Talk to me about the down payment assistance program for people to help them get into their own homes.
Yes. As I said, we really want to fully develop that full spectrum of housing needs. And we know that some folks who are renters are ready to become home buyers. But for some, that down payment is really a barrier to being able to get into their first home. So we contract with a local nonprofit called HomeWise, and HomeWise works with potential home buyers to get them ready for home ownership, making sure they're kind of financially ready, that they're prepared for the responsibilities of being a homeowner. And then once a household's at that point and they're looking for a home, HomeWise is able to use the funding provided by the city to contribute towards the homeowner's down payment. And what that does is it helps bring their mortgage payment down to a level that's going to be sustainable and affordable for that household. So we've helped lots of households over the last few years be able to purchase a home with that assistance.
Yeah, and I know personally you have had some real positive outcomes. I used to be a real estate lender, and we would frequently refer people to the HomeWise program, and they learn everything about, budgeting and planning. Yep. And it's not just planning their home expenses. It's figuring out how much food they're going to buy, planning weekly meals, how much gas is it going to cost, right. What's the car payment. I mean, it's a pretty thorough program.
Yes, exactly. And so it's another thing where, like, we've got a successful program or model here in Albuquerque. We just really are looking to expand what we're doing.
Well, we've got another segment with Lisa, and Lisa Uvall is the Deputy Director of Housing for the City of Albuquerque, and Monica Jamka is the Public Affairs Specialist. They're going to be with us for one more segment. We're going to talk about a free eviction prevention clinic they have coming up on May 25th and how you might also apply for some assistance with your rent. We'll be back after these messages. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Carrie Jobe, and here's a special word from an incredible pastor in my life, Pastor Robert Morris.
I'm not a good singer. I've got too many people share that with me. You know, I remember one time I was sitting beside a pastor at a church where I was going to preach, and so we're worshiping God together. And then during the time where he's supposed to turn and, you know, greet people, encourage people, he said to me, "You remind me of a jailhouse singer." And I thought, like, you know, Paul and Silas, you know, singing praises to God in the jail. And so I said, "You mean like Paul and Silas?" He said, "No, you're always behind a few bars looking for a key." You don't have to be a musician to worship God through musical worship. You don't have to be musically inclined. But I'm telling you, and you know what I'm talking about. You've been in worship services before where you sensed the presence of God like he was just all over the place.
For more worship in the Word, visit PastorRobert.com.
Whether at home or in the workplace, we are all leaders. Become a better leader in this leadership moment with Craig Groeschel.
A lot of younger leaders or newer leaders, they tend to think that success is a result of the big, elusive, super habits. And nothing is further from the truth. In fact, I'd go as far to say it's way, 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 way better if your new habit is a small new habit. Make it small. Why does this matter? Well, Newton's law of motion tells us this. An object at rest tends to stay at rest. An object in motion tends to stay in motion. When you're at rest, a big habit seems intimidating, and so you typically stay at rest. But a small habit that's easy to achieve is something that you might actually start, and once you get into motion, guess what? An object in motion tends to stay in motion. And so what is your goal? What you want to do as a leader is you want to create movement toward the desired result. And I want to just encourage you, just start small.
That was Craig Groeschel with a KLYT Leadership Moment. Hear more at life.church/leadership podcast.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We're on the air today with Lisa Uvall and Monica Jamka. They are with the City of Albuquerque Family and Community Services, and we're talking about housing today. I didn't realize that there were still rental services or rental assistance offered by the city. I knew that was kind of offered during COVID, but there are still opportunities available for people. Is that correct, Lisa?
That is absolutely correct. We at the City of Albuquerque was very lucky to receive $24 million in emergency rental assistance from the federal government. This is specifically to serve renters, people who are currently renting an apartment who have been impacted by COVID and have been who need help paying the rent. And that includes back rent, current rent, as well as future rent up to 3 months at a time. And then we've received another round of funding as well. The state of New Mexico also received some funding, so we decided to join forces and operate one joint statewide program. And the way that, and there's still plenty of money left to disperse to renters who need help. So the way to apply for that is to go to renthelpnm.org. Again, renthelpnm.org. And folks can submit an application online. It's fairly easy to submit an application. Folks do have to provide some documentation to show that they're a renter and to verify their income and things like that. But it is relatively easy to access, and it has helped thousands of New Mexicans be able to stay in their home during the pandemic.
Yeah, what a neat opportunity. I'm so glad we're talking about this today. And I mentioned before the break that you have an eviction prevention clinic coming up on May 25th. Tell us about that event.
We do. You know, we know even with this emergency rental assistance program in place, we know that unfortunately folks are going through the eviction process because they have not paid their rent. So in order to reach those renters, to make sure that they're aware of their legal rights and also that they're aware of the opportunity to apply for emergency rental assistance, the city has hosted a series of free legal clinics. So in order to access the upcoming legal clinic on May 25th, folks do need to just complete kind of a pre-screening form, which makes sure that the staff who's running that clinic kind of know when you come in the door what's going on and make sure that they can use the time wisely to help you. So folks can get to that via Family and Community through the City of Albuquerque website, or they can also call 505-768-4255.
Give me that number one more time, 768-4255.
Sure, that you got it, yes.
Give it to us one more time. What I'm going to do, Lisa and Monica, is I'm going to post this on our podcast site. So I want to make sure I get the notes correct so that people can refer to it. Also, Lisa and Monica have offered to have people call in. We have about 10 minutes left. If you have a question, we may not be able to get to too many of them. Oh, you know what? I'm wrong. We don't have the phone lines available. I apologize. So we can't do that. So see, the host of the show probably should know that we've used up all the phone lines. Sorry about that, guys. But if you have a question, you can email me, jim@abqconnect.online, and I'll make sure that you get the answers from Lisa or Monica. And they've already given you some information, cabq.gov/family. That's where you can find out a lot about these housing services and things that are available here in the community. Monica, do you have any idea how many people we might have living in Albuquerque that would be homeless?
That's a fantastic question, Jim. I'm actually going to direct that over to Lisa.
Yeah, you know, we estimate that on any given night, there are at least 1,500 people, men, women, and children who are experiencing homelessness in Albuquerque. That includes folks that are sleeping in shelters as well as folks that are sleeping out on the streets or in other unsheltered locations. I will say we know that's an undercount because it is difficult to count folks that are unsheltered. And then we also estimate that over the course of a year, about 5,000 households in Albuquerque will experience homelessness for some period of time.
And homelessness can come upon people very quickly, but I'm so impressed that you've got these eviction prevention clinics. You've got rental assistance. It seems like if people would not stay isolated and take advantage of these city services, that they might just find a way through the difficulties they're in.
I think that's true. And we're so lucky to have this emergency rental assistance program this is a resource that pre-COVID we didn't have at this scale. So we're so lucky to have this large pot of funding that we can use to help people stay in their homes. And it is working. As I said earlier, those funds have really helped assist thousands of renters with their back rent as well as some future rent to make sure that they could stay in their home during the pandemic.
You know, I mentioned to you in the first segment that I'm a retired banker, and one of the things that I always like to encourage people to do when I made a loan is look, hey, there comes hard times sometimes, and don't run away from the obligation. Just communicate. Communicate exactly mm-hmm. what's going on. And there was always a way for even the bank to work through situations and to help families. So if you're in a situation right now and you're having difficulty with your rent, maybe you are offended, maybe your pride is hurt, I don't know. Maybe you've faced an awful thing, and I don't want to minimize any of that. Reach out to some of these services, and I know there's people in the faith community that I will even now be able to direct to how these services work and so on and so forth. Lisa, give us some of the agencies that you're working with. You mentioned HomeWise. You have some other agencies that you're working with as part of your programs?
Are you asking about the emergency rental assistance program or just in general?
Well, just in general, I think people don't realize that the city actually partners with a lot of different agencies to help people.
Yeah, I really appreciate that question because I think that's true. We could not do the work that we're doing within our department without our nonprofit community partners, the organizations that are on the ground serving, you know, doing the direct services, building the housing every day. So just to name a few off the top of my head, in no particular order, you know, we work with some of the nonprofit developers we work with include Greater Albuquerque Housing Partnership and Yes Housing. They do beautiful developments across town that are affordable to low and moderate income folks. Some of the organizations we work with that are doing great work around housing people experiencing homelessness include Supportive Housing Coalition of New Mexico, HopeWorks, Albuquerque Healthcare for the Homeless, Barrett Foundation, Catholic Charities, just to name a few.
I love all of that. Here's a personal question. I'd love to hear from both of you on this. Have you seen outcomes for families that encourage you in your work?
I absolutely do. I mean, you know, some of it's data, like, you know, kind of the data that's coming in through the quarterly reports that our agencies submit. I said earlier, you know, we're seeing amazing outcomes in terms of over 90% of folks maintaining housing stability. But there's also the stories that we hear directly from folks who have experienced homelessness or housing instability and the agencies that serve them. I actually had the good fortune to be at a grand opening event a couple weeks ago for one of our new affordable housing developments. And there was a gentleman who spoke at that event who had just moved in to this new development. He had been living in an emergency shelter for men, and he just gave lots of praise to that shelter and how much they had helped him get his life back on track. But then he was out there looking for housing, and he found this new development that serves seniors. He's a senior citizen, and he was so grateful for the opportunity. And at the end of his speech, he said, "All of you who have been involved in this, you didn't just give me a house, you gave me a home." And that really touched all of our hearts that were there that day. And that's why we do this work.
You bet. Monica, again, how, if people are in need of help, how do you recommend they get in touch with your agency?
Well, folks can always contact us directly here at FCS. That main number is 505-768-2860. And then we can help redirect those calls to particular resources as needed. Folks can also always contact me too, directly through email is great, and that I can share that information on the podcast or on your website, however
yeah.
You feel is best to share that information, Jim.
We'll do that. And then the rental assistance, that number is 505-768-HELP. Is that correct?
Yes, and that's a number, just to be clear, that's a number folks can call to find out about housing resources that are available in the community that might be a good fit for them, the 768 HELP.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you mentioned that it doesn't have to be the person to call you that is necessarily having the difficulty. If you know anybody or if you recognize somebody might be struggling, you can make the call and start the process.
Absolutely.
Well, I think this information has been extremely valuable. And to know that there's, you know, we have a number of different ministries, like we have Steel Bridge Transformation Center. We have Joy Junction. They share with us things about, you know, homeless and things, victories and things that come about where people are able to transform their lives. But what I've heard you two say today about the city of Albuquerque, there's all kinds of opportunities. There's a lot of resources. There's everything from legal resources to financial resources to financial training. You're building facilities and maintaining facilities. So it even sounds like if somebody has a facility right now, for example, that they own, and they might be interested in providing this as a place for affordable housing, would they call you as well?
Yes, definitely. Folks should reach out to me if they have something like that and they're interested in if they're interested in doing something like that.
Fantastic. Lisa Uvall is the Deputy Director of Housing for the City of Albuquerque. Monica Jamka is the Public Affairs Specialist. City of Albuquerque Family and Community Services, thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having us on.
Talk to you soon.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at abqconnect.online.